The Kemmick Royals Cricket Club podcast is proud to be sponsored by Royalty Plumbing. Royalty Plumbing is a reliable plumbing, gas and electrical company dedicated to providing quality service throughout the Perth area. Give them a call today on 9451 7735.
Welcome back to another episode of the Kemp Cricket Club podcast, and with me as always, Stephen Kemp, over there across from me. How are you, Stephen?
All the better for seeing you, Matthew. Happy to be back in the old digs.
Yeah, back where we used to record.
Yeah, you know, it was a bit like being on the bus, you know, this weekend. Boom, 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 boom. I want you in my room.
Okay.
As they say in the classics.
Now, a big guest we've got today. Do you want to introduce him?
We're rolling them out, aren't we? We're pulling out all the stops. Mm. And really, it's a treat for the listener, isn't it? It really is a treat. And and we'll keep going. We'll keep doing it because that's what we do. We deliver. So, very special guest today, Damon Tiernan. 13 games for the club. And as I should preface, sorry, these are only your Kenwick stats. They're the only ones that matter. Sure. Everything else is irrelevant. 13 games for the club. A princely 26 runs and an average of 6.5. I'd like to round that up to 10, but it's not quite there. High score of 11 on the weekend against Hilton Bicton on the 1-day Bs. 8 wickets at 22.63. Also, best of 4 for 22 this weekend just gone against Hilton Bicton in the 1-day B. So quite fitting that we got you on. 2 catches as well. I'm sure many more to come. So with all that being said, welcome Damon Tiernan.
Thank you very much, boys. Matty Kempe, great to be here. A little bit, very excited, a little bit nervous as well.
Yep.
I did say, I don't know if you remember, Matty, but in the preseason I said I'd love to be on the podcast, but I want to have some decent stats. I wouldn't call those decent, but
I do remember. I thought 4 or 5. This is the time. Get him on.
It was the fines day, wasn't it?
Huh?
It was the fines day. Yeah, you said that.
Yeah.
And then 11 as well. So I was like, this is the time. We've got to get him on. So good to have you here. We'll chat to Damon a lot more very shortly, but we'll go through a few of the results from the weekend first.
Big weekend.
Sixth grade first, Stephen. You were there. Talk us through what happened.
Yeah. So we had ourselves at a great position. None for 27 at stumps, chasing 68, I think it was, for the 10 points. Arman and Darbs batted exceptionally well. I think we got to something like none for 50 before we lost our first wicket. Ended up batting through to T, 548, and I convinced Chook to declare. And in hindsight, that was a mistake because Wilton set up a couple of tents out there and took their trangiers, and they just made themselves right at home out in the wilderness.
Fair enough.
Two for 78 at stumps, and then Mitch Brindley taking both wickets.
Yep, very well done. Fourth grade, they got the win there, but Willerton making 161, not a bad effort.
Yeah, and we had them. I think we had them 5 for.
They're 3 for 9.
So 3 for 9, maybe 5 for 30.
5 for 35. Yeah.
So we put in the hard yards early, and then credit to Willerton. Hey, they must have really dug in. I heard that there was a young district player, Ratter, I think, for them that got 50 odd.
Yeah, apparently he batted very well and he's been very good for a number of weeks. So, yeah, he was a bit of resistance for the boys, but they did get the wickets and got the win in the end, which was very, very good.
Yeah, 130, 140-run win. And, you know, you're obviously not going to sneeze at that any day, but might have been good for the boys. I think they fielded just shy of 65 overs. So probably good for them as well to be kept out and challenged in the field, even if they knew the result from a long way back. Good for them to be challenged and kept out there.
Yep, very much so. 1-day Bs, unfortunately, we went down. But Damon, you played a pivotal role in that. Best figures of the club.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah. And 11 as well, so you played very well. But unfortunately, it's just our batting trying to defend 102 again. We bowled quite well. I think we had them 5 for 40 or 50, but unfortunately, it just wasn't enough runs on the board. And they did manage to get the win. They end up 7 for 146, so... unfortunately, we just couldn't get the job done there, but I guess we'll reassess and try and come back next week.
Well, I'll tell you what, Matty, now's as good a time as any. We need to talk to these boys. I reckon we maybe need to get together as a family and sit down and really hash these sorts of things out, because for the talent that's in that team and consistently in that team, you're underperforming, boys. Sorry, it's as simple as that.
We were talking on Saturday night, Damon, about how many overs we had left out there. We thought it was 4 or 5. We had 7 overs left.
That's criminal.
Yeah, wow.
That's
horrible.
Criminal in a 35-over game.
Yeah.
Absolutely criminal.
Me and Damon having to go out there and try and rally some runs at the end.
Boys, just look deep within yourself and ask yourself, can I do better? And should I be doing better? And I think you'll find the answer is yes. Who have you got this week in the one-day bees,
Matty?
I've got
Maddie? Willison, who we did defeat in round one, but they did have us 9 for 90.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, put the onus on you boys. Someone stand up and say, today's the day I'm going to be daddy. Because
okay.
That side needs a daddy.
So in that first game, the bear was the one who stepped up along with
he was.
And those two boys got us to, I think, 160.
When he came in this week, I thought he was going to do it again, but unfortunately, the bear was caught. Caught out.
In the trap.
But we move on and we go to next week. But the Fs, it was a good week for them. They had
great success. Huge success.
They finally got a win. Rolly Stanley only rocked up with 9, which helped. Connor McDermott with 2 and then the other wickets were scattered around. And then in pursuit, some very exciting cricket from some boys. Josh Ferguson, 54 not out.
54 red from Ferg.
They declared it 20 overs.
Yeah, look,
annoys me.
I take great umbrage with that. And you boys, in a 10-team competition, when you're maybe, let's conservatively say 8th, and the finals is top 4, you're in no position to be leaving however many overs they left out there and all those bonus points.
Like, even regardless, you've got Zach Hale sitting there on 26 off 10.
Yeah, red also.
And Josh Ferguson on 54. Josh Ferguson could have turned up.
Well, who
knows? Zach Hale could have got a 50.
Who knows? But personal achievements aside, the overall more important thing, position on the ladder, we've thrown away some points there. And how close are we to 7th on the ladder? Should we be 7th?
Yes.
Okay, well, there we go. Then we've shot ourselves in the foot. Because I guarantee you, no other team out there is going to give you any free rides like that. And go, you know what? You boys only got 9 here? Oh, come off, boys. Come off. You've had a hard day. None of that.
We're in 8th. We're on 20.17. Coburn in 7th are on 20.42. So we could have been in 7th, unfortunately.
25 runs? 26
yeah,
runs?
Something like that, yeah.
Well, boys, miss out on the finals, you know why.
We almost pulled it off, the 4-team wins, but unfortunately we messed it up indeed.
All the messages circulating around after the game, we're sitting there and we're like, okay, so we know 4s are good, we know we're good, we know Fs have pulled off the miracle. What are the 1-day Bs doing? Surely.
Nah, we couldn't do it. So unfortunately, we have to move on to next week. Let's have a look at the games for next round. 1-day Fs, they're playing at Harmony Fields against Mannington. Mannington in the 1-day Fs are sitting 2nd on the ladder, so they're 4 wins, 1 loss. So it's going to be quite a tough game, but hopefully the boys can pull it off again. Having a look at the 1-day Bs, we've got Willerton, who I believe are still in 2nd last. Yes, they are, so hopefully we can knock them off again as we did earlier in the season.
Bounce back.
Fingers crossed. 4th grade, they've got Jandakot, which is considered probably their first big challenge of the year, probably. They're sitting in 3rd, Jandakot, so it should be a good clash there. And you guys have Leeming, who, well, 6th grade have Leeming, who are, I think, in 2nd last, so you'd be wanting to try and get a win there, keep yourselves inside that top 4.
Yeah, in touch with the 4, so very important round coming up for each side of the club.
Mm.
And all winnable games, I would suggest.
Yeah, very much so. But yeah, hopefully we can see 4 wins in 2 weeks' time, or unless the 2-day tight sides can win on day 1.
Yeah, look, maybe that's not going to happen. So I'll put a challenge out to all you boys. If we can get the 4 Ws across either week, and I'll take first innings, if by some miracle that happens. If we get 4 wins on either week, first round back at the club on me.
Wow, for everyone.
It's huge.
Get the young fellas back for a soft drink.
Yep, and maybe even a packet of chips, who knows.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Speaking of the kids, though, are the Hales, are they currently on holiday?
They're out for 2 weeks, so Connor McDermott's going to be taking the reins. Ooh. For a couple of weeks.
Yeah, okay,
exciting times, so it'll be his first ever game as captain. So, see how he goes.
Oh,
and, yeah.
Best of luck to him.
Yeah, should be good. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll probably notch up another win, I reckon.
Yeah.
Back them in.
All right, let's go.
Done. In terms of yourself this week, you're not sure where you'll be playing yet?
Yeah, not really sure.
Could be anywhere.
Not really sure any week, to be honest with you. If Shahan doesn't want me, then I'm pretty sure Chuck's going to take me. And if he doesn't take me, then you'll take me. So.
And the S is still there. Well, you could go six as Steph.
I think within the laws of the game, I'm not allowed to play one day Fs this week.
Why?
Because I can't drop from sixth grade to one day Fs.
Yes, you can.
There's another grade in between.
No, because sixth grade's lower now, remember?
Who could say?
Oh, he's trying to make up his own rules.
Who could say?
He's trying to refer to his own rules. Should we jump into the votes for the week, or should we talk about the wine tour first?
Well, let's have a chat about the wine tour, because okay. I thought personally, just going to do a bit of trumpeting here, I thought it was a great day. A great day for all and sundry. A great day for Kenwick and therefore the world.
100%.
Yeah, great day. Certainly very well organised by yourself, Stephen.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
And I think everyone had a pretty good time overall.
Any personal highlights for you?
Oh, probably none of the top of my head. I just enjoyed the whole day as a whole.
It was a really good vibe. I think I knew that it was going to be a good day when I rocked up and I spoke with John, the bus driver, and he just got it straight away. I just said, rightio, we're just a couple of scallywags just looking to have a nice time, just a good vibe, good bunch of guys. What do you reckon? And he goes, well, sounds like a day for it.
He was a ripper, and he was sort of, you know, he was saying, no drinks on the bus, guys, and then giving us a big wink every time sort of thing, and saying, you know, just put him in the bin, but no drinks on the bus, but, you know, nice, he was good.
And if anyone asks, you weren't drinking on the bus, which, of course, we were only drinking water and various energy
Absolutely.
Drinks.
Did you have a highlight for the day, Damon, or was it just the whole day as a whole?
Whole day was good. The mango wine's always a highlight.
They were good.
Oh, that was naughty.
Just looking down the table and seeing all the boys, basically one to a person.
Yeah.
It was just a nice atmosphere to be in. Enjoyed chatting to all the boys, having a good, you know, everyone mixed together sort of thing. That was brilliant.
I think my favourite part when we were at the Duxton, I heard at one point the bar staff saying, we've run out of mango wine. And I thought to myself, blokes were buying them by, you know, the handful.
Absolutely.
And I was thinking to myself, like, surely not. Just the bar outside.
Oh,
we ran that dry, okay. I was going to say.
Can we get them for the club?
Surely.
Are they a Duxton product? I didn't pay enough
Ian
attention.
Archibald said that apparently you can get them from the bottle over like $20 a bottle.
I believe they're imported from Germany. So I used to think they made them on site, but it takes some of the magic away, I think, knowing it's imported. But I guess it makes it more authentic.
I mean, I don't really know. Ian said $20 a bottle, but he said you can never find it.
Okay. Oh. Challenge accepted. If someone can contact us and tell us what it was, because I just saw mango, and the strawberry one as well, I didn't mind either, I don't mind telling you. But I'll find it. If where there's a will, there's a way. I've always said that.
For sure. Did you have some votes to give for the wine tour for best performed? Or?
Yeah, well, I wrote out a few, and I don't know how you want to do this in terms of, you know, the number. I think for the KEDBO, we...
I think we did three.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember. And when KBDO 2 surely won't be too far away.
Well, nothing's been organised as yet, but again, boys, like, reach out. What do you want? I've said it before, I'll say it again. Whatever you want, boys, we'll make it happen.
Yeah.
We've always given the fans what they wanted, Manny.
We have. We have.
In that sense, if I could, I'm really torn as to... I've got a few honourable mentions, if that's all right with you.
Yep.
Sebi T, for his first drink of the day being a full bottle of Late Harvest at the Mandoon Winery. I thought that was great. Jax for instantly getting on the Reds and for coming there at all. I thought that was brave from Daniel.
It was.
And I'd wager he felt uncomfortable initially and then worked his way into it.
Yep, fair call.
My one vote, and this might seem strange, I reckon this man just likes to fly under the radar. He's a bit of a cool customer. Just does his bit and, you know, without much aplomb or anything like that. I'm giving one vote to the Bear.
Oh, that's a good shout.
Now, the bear also brought a carton of water and a few Red Bulls or Vs, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I just thought to myself when I saw him, I'm like, this guy, he gets it.
He came off an all-night shift as well.
Yeah. What a legend. The Bear.
My one vote, I went with Jax. I thought Jax performed very well. Yeah, he was solid. really set the tone. And you, like you said, just him coming as well was a fair effort. In terms of shout-outs, one to Josh Cons, I thought, similar to the Bear, just flies under the radar.
Good shout.
Does what he has to do. And got another special mention as well. He was very, very good. And I'm not sure whether to give Vitted a special mention or not. Did he go too hard too early?
I think he probably gets a dishonourable mention.
But he did come back at the end.
So. Look, and he tried, didn't he?
Your two votes?
My two votes, again, although, it was his... If this had been a 5-4-3-2-1, I would have had a lot more scope and room for play. Alas, we don't have such time. So another special mention to Angad on his birthday. I thought he was in great touch, and he was happy to let everyone know exactly what he was thinking when he was thinking it, how he was thinking.
He always is. He's always like that, and he was very vocal early. I love to see it.
And boy, do I respect it. I'm giving two votes to Chook.
Yep.
At Mandoon, he set the standard for me straight away.
He was good.
He was thirsty, and he was forthright in his decision. For beverages, whichever three or four he had of him in front of him at one time.
My two votes, I went with Yana.
Okay, that's a bit different.
Well, she didn't have to come.
It's true. Very true.
She had to come with all these cricket blokes and just cop it for the day. And I thought she was there the whole time. And I was like, yeah, that deserves some votes.
You reckon she had a good time?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I would have thought so too. Yeah, look, well, the extended Archibald family really are all good people.
Oh, 100%.
I'd include Pete in that, wouldn't you?
Oh, I've never met him, but sure.
Nor have I, but I just assume.
I mean, look, I hope their toilet's better now because Sean Ingram broke it.
Yeah, and look, and maybe that's what stopped him getting three votes. Who knows? I don't know.
Go on, your
three. My three votes. Look, he got off to a rough start in the day. He held up the bus by 15 minutes. But when he got on, he was the mix master. He was the DJ. The laugh—it's infectious. It's a vibe. Gets the people going, you know. And that's got to be Raj Kanaga.
Yeah, I've dogged this man on both. I can't believe I missed him in my three.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've totally dogged him. He should get four votes. I've really stitched him up here.
And actually, even best. He's now challenging you. This is a heavyweight bout. One for the ages. He's now currently the king of kick-ons, as far as I'm concerned. He's taken your crown.
That's fine by me.
You have to contest. You must contest.
I don't want to. My three votes went to Chook.
And now I feel
silly because Raj was much, much better performed. And well, I've totally dogged him.
It's not too late to change it.
No, I locked in Sean. So Sean was also very well performed. So.
Yeah, he was. He was good. He's a good schooner.
All right, so let's talk about the votes for the round of cricket, because
the less important votes.
Yeah, of course. I'll go first since you went first before, I guess. My one vote, I went with Zach Hale. Took a catch with the gloves, made 26 off 10. Probably would have turned that into 80 if he got to keep batting.
Oh, at least 80.
Yeah, very good effort. So I thought he deserved the one vote. So, and also captaining his first win for the club.
Yeah, look, great call. If I may, and I will, I'm going to start with dishonourable mentions.
Oh, no.
And they go to Zach Hale and to Ferg, because they both threw away probably their highest scores for the club.
Well, I can tell you, it wasn't them that called it. I spoke to Zach, and I'm like, what happened, man? He's like, my dad called it. I'm bloody not happy.
Well, and look, in that case, I retract that. And Andre Hale, that's a big cross.
Look. Maybe Andre had some business to attend to. I don't know. Who knows?
If that's the case, that's poor planning on his part. Honourable mentions. I thought Dinny, 26.
He was good. He looked really good.
For sure.
Showing some signs, heading in the right directions. Look, if there's anyone who wants that man to score runs more than I do, then I'm yet to meet them.
He looked really good. And when he did get going, he hit a couple of really nice fours, and then this big guy just somehow snaffled this unbelievable catch. And Dinny was like, this is fucked.
Once again, proving cricket's a shit game.
Yeah, for sure.
He's still, I mean, he played within himself, I felt like. Like, he's got so many levels to go to.
It looked like he just sort of... He hit those two boundaries, I thought, oh, here we go. And then that bloke took that catch.
Yeah, when he unleashes, it's going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it.
He's building, and I like it. I've got a lot of time for that. Also, Darbs and Amman from week one didn't quite capitalize as much as I thought, but 22 and 16 respectively, like they did the hard yards for us in sixth grade there. I really rate how they stuck that out. And Sarav thinks his first game for the year. He got 21. Just that man is... He could be anything.
I hope he keeps playing.
He could be everything.
He's an enigma.
Yeah, he is. He definitely
wrapped in
is.
A riddle. Wrapped in a mystery.
And looks dangerous with those little off-spin darts as well. They weren't too bad and fields the house down as usual.
Yeah, absolutely. So with all of that being said, my one vote went to Josh Cons.
Josh Cons? Oh, yeah.
He got 29
not
off 18.
Great call.
And just came out and grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck, knew that we were probably going to be declaring around that tea time, and he just went, well... I'm daddy out here. I'm taking control of this situation.
Would have he made 50? Was he robbed? Did you rob him?
Yeah, probably. And so, yeah, could be a guilt vote. Maybe some guilt stuff going on. A bit of Catholic Church stuff. Who knows?
Yeah, Josh Conn's definitely in my honourable mentions. Also, Till in my honourable mentions as well, who probably just misses out on my votes. But two votes, and I gave it to this bloke because a lot of the guys told me how well he bowled. I don't really like this bloke, but Shaun Mendes bowled 17 overs, 3 wickets, so... Well bowled, Shaun, deserves these two votes, allegedly. So, yeah.
Allegedly.
Give him those votes.
Allegedly, in a court of law. My two votes went to Till.
Nice.
He's 40. He came in when the platform moved pretty nicely set for him. And, yeah, from the time he was out there, he was positive, just showed great intent. Copped a good one, which we don't often say in SMCA cricket. He copped a good one, yeah, and he got rickrolled. But yeah, his 40 was real good, so he gets me two.
Nice. My three votes went to Josh Ferguson.
Okay.
Look, regardless of if they have nine or if you haven't played for a while, 54 not out. Yeah, got to commend it. So, gets my three votes.
Yeah. It's nice to see him playing.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see him scoring runs, and I wish him success. I just feel like he should be playing a higher grade.
Of course.
But that being said, if he's not interested in playing, hard enough to get him there in the first place. Yeah. So,
yep.
I don't know. We can take that discussion off air. But yeah, definitely happy to see him score runs. I want to see him do well. Him doing well is good for the club. Ergo, I want to see it happen all the time. So,
your three votes?
My three votes went to that bloke that you claim not to like, Shaun Mendes. Yeah.
His dad and his home.
Oh, I tell you what, the Mendes family, boy, oh boy, wow, are they not the most hospitable people you ever met?
Yeah, they're fantastic.
And for that reason, Shaun gets my three votes.
Yeah, Shaun probably should have got the full votes for the wine tour.
Unlucky, mate. Unlucky.
My four votes went to Ian Archibald. He did again, another fourfer, really well bowled. From the words of Chatty yesterday, if they didn't have Ian, he doesn't reckon they would have even bowled him out. So.
Yeah.
That's what Chatty told me. So,
fuck, bloke is clutch.
So, Ian, just getting the job done again.
Yeah, nice. My four votes. My four votes went to a man who is in this room, and he decided to play his best ever game for Kenwick. 4 for 22 and 11 runs. Basically, he scored half of his career runs for Kenwick in a day. Career best stuff. So, Damon Tiernan, four votes.
How could you not give him five votes?
I'll tell you why.
You're a disgrace. He's going to give Ian Archibald because he's in love with him. You had better figures and made your high score, but that's okay. Just only get five votes from me. You're a disgrace, I mean it.
I forgive you, Kempy. It's all right.
See, I pumped up his tyres.
Yeah, we already did. I gave you five votes.
Well, getting a bit sad.
Thank you very much.
What can I tell you about this bloke, Ian Archibald? What can I tell you that you don't already know that I'm going to make you aggressively listen to against your will? Mate, four for in the top grade. You tell me right now, look at the SMCA stats, and you tell me who's a better bowler than Ian Archibald.
No one is.
Exactly. So why does he not get five votes?
I'm just trying to make you seem like a dog.
Well, you don't need to do that, because I do that myself.
Well deserved. Ian's certainly in fantastic form. If they took his catches, he'd probably have even more.
He'd take 10 every week. You look at these stats. I'm looking at these stats right now.
Okay.
Shaun Mendes is sitting in second.
Yeah.
He's got 7 wickets of 15 for Kenwick.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Archibald, 12 at 7 3/4.
And Ian missed a game. So, yeah, look, he's not bowling bad.
If we look at the entirety of the association, the entirety of that grade, Ian's second to some bloke named Vijay Kumar.
Oh.
But Vijay, so Versace, 10.77 for a wicket. Mate, you got to be going under 10s.
Fair enough. Let's talk a little bit about Damon. Damo, obviously, you came back to cricket last year playing Kenwick. How big was the gap between playing from, I guess, juniors, whenever you played last, to joining Kenwick?
Yes, I think my last season would have been 13, 14, so a good amount of time. And I had let my body degrade into basically a skeleton by that time. Played like half a season of indoor cricket before coming back, and I was not getting through those games, and they're like, you know, literally 18 over games, and I was, you know, dead after it. So, yeah, massive gap to come back to the level, and I think that's definitely reflected in the stats, but no, I know where I can get to, and that's like given me the motivation to keep on cracking, and yeah.
Yep, fair enough.
That's awesome to hear, man.
Yep. Now, we do have a few questions from everyone that's been submitted.
Oh, God.
Stephen, do you want to start off with the first one that you've got there?
Oh, I can do. Should I ask a couple of my own, perhaps?
If you would like.
Please
before
do.
Before this veers off into tangents, many and varied.
Sure.
So we asked Vep last week how he got to the club and what it looked like for him. What did it look like for you? What is it, a similar sort of story? You and Vep, good mates? What did it look like for you? How'd you get here?
So there's a few moments. One that I remember, we were on a trip down south, so I was friends with a lot of those boys previously. This would be, I reckon, maybe July 2021. And it was me, sort of Rav, and a few of the other boys, Arby and those guys. We're sitting in a place down south, and Rav just goes, yeah, so I'm playing cricket again this year. A few of my, like, you know, family, a few friends sort of thing. And if you boys want to come down and go to a training or something, yeah, like, you can come down. And I thought to myself, man, I'd love to, like, but, I mean, my body is decrepit, basically. you know, I didn't, like, I know how good Rav is, and I was thinking, man, I can't live up to that kind of stuff. If his sort of standard, it's not going to be for me. And then also he said Kenwick, and I was like, bloody hell, where is that? so I thought, yeah, there's absolutely no chance. And then, I guess a few months later, I'd been playing a bit of indoor cricket and was just sort of thinking, man, I'd love to play some cricket again. Sort of a chance conversation with Angad, and he was basically like, mate, yeah, by the way, we're actually training on, you know, Wednesday nights down at ECT, Elite Cricket Training in Coburn, shout out to them. And, you know, if you want to come down, feel free to. So me and Vep went down for that first game. And then less than a week later, I was playing fourth grade with, I think, you, Kempe, first game of the season. So, yeah, it was very sort of quick from that moment, but, yeah.
Whirlwind stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
What was the first game you bowled in? Because did you play fourth grade after that, or was that straight into the Bs from there?
So that was my fourth grade game, yeah. And I got home probably not stoked that I hadn't bowled, but I got it, like, you know what I mean? Any game I don't bowl, not super stoked, but you know, it is what it is sort of thing. And then the next game, played sixth grade the next week against, I think, Cannington, and I bowled a couple of, I think they were my best figures for the club up until this week. So just bowled a few overs and was okay, I guess. But yeah, got straight into it.
Yep. Very nice. Got a few questions here that have been submitted.
Yeah, okay. We can get into that sort of malarkey if that's what you fancy.
First one I've got here is from Sean Collingwood, Sheep.
If you
know him well, I'm not too sure.
No, I do.
He wants to know the name of your indie rock band.
Of course. So we had a band called Longreach.
Longreach.
And we played a few gigs in the year 2016.
Yeah.
And yeah, absolutely loved it. To me, like, the band is another thing, like cricket for me, where it's something I love doing, and I'd love to get back to it at some stage, but a bit out of touch at the moment with it, but I'll get back there one day. And I did have another two-piece band called Redpath Road, which we probably did more shows with that one, but Longreach has the more glamour to it.
Wow.
There are some songs out there. I would not encourage anyone to go looking for them. They are out there.
So the first thing I do when I get home, Akash Misra writes in. He wrote several questions, if you don't mind my asking, Matthew.
Yeah.
One of which was, when is the band Longreach making its grand return?
You'd have to ask the other boys. I'm always ready to go. It makes it return... every Friday night at Kara Karaoke in the city, pretty much.
Do you have another one there,
Steve? Yeah, I got a couple from Akash. He wants to know, would you rather a 5-wicket haul or one night with Dua Lipa? Now, he hasn't really given much context on what the night with Dua Lipa entails, but let's propose and say that it's all consensual, whatever that may be.
Well, does that mean that, like, you just put us in a room, it's whatever she wants to do? Because I'm assuming, you know, I'm assuming we'd have a good time regardless. However, that 5-wicket haul, I've been thinking about it ever since, well, basically ever since I went to fine leg after my 6th over and I was on 4 wickets. I was dreaming about that 5-wicket haul.
It's so elusive.
I really thought you were going to get it too. I thought, there's 7-8 down here. Like, surely one of them's going to have a go and get out. And they bloody didn't.
Me too, mate. Me too.
One more from Akash. Why didn't you get on with it on the weekend and just get your FIFA? That's dollars, mate.
Fair enough. I think that last over, I was just trying to, every ball was on the stump sort of thing,
yeah.
But also my body was slowly starting to break down. Every ounce of my effort went into it. I can guarantee him with that.
Chris Chadwick asks, does he get fined minority tax like I do, and what bank does he use to get a loan to pay these fines?
The fines in that team are absolutely outrageous, and my bank account is looking a lot better having not played in the team this year. and yes, I get minority tax every single time. Good luck with that, Chaddy.
Paddy Carpenter writes in, are we breaking Bruni's record this Boxing Day?
We always are. Well, so the context behind that is, Paddy's probably my oldest friend, so I've known him since we were 3 years old at Bull Creek Kindy together. So my dad and his dad, pretty much every Boxing Day, back when we were kids, used to have an unbelievable amount of beers, and they'd leave them all out on the counter. And they'd basically break Boonie's record every year. And so me and Paddy would get to run riot around the house. We loved it. So, you know, now we're all grown up. I think it's our turn to sort it out. So, it's brilliant.
And have a crack.
Stephen?
Yeah, so... I'll save that one. My boy Richard Pinto writes in. He asked, how did it feel to hit Angad back over his head in the nets at ECT? And which felt better, the shot or then you proceeding to give Angad a pat on the back as you both walked out of the nets, a la unlucky champ?
Well, we all know Angad, and, you know, he is an unbelievably quick bowler. He's great at cricket, and he knows it. He's well aware. And that fact, you can have a bit of fun with it. And so after basically missing 13 balls in a row, I've just stepped back and by pure chance have hit one over his head, my last ball out there in the nets, and I was just stoked about it, and so I've given him a pat on the back. They both felt fantastic, and I'll do it again. Come at me, I guess.
Raj asks, just about your 4-wicket haul, and have you been trying anything new?
Ah, that's a great question. Yes, absolutely. So in the nets, so obviously... Yeah, most of the time since I've been back playing cricket, been trying to bowl out swing because that's what's been working. And what hasn't been working is the long run bowling seam up. And I've just sort of, the last few weeks, I've thought, I'm going to sort it out. I'm going to figure out how to do this without bowling it down leg every time. So the last couple of weeks, I've just been sprinting in to, you know, to the point of exhaustion every training session, just trying to get it right. And I sort of felt like I had. And then all 4 of the wickets on the weekend were that seam up rather than the outswing. So, yeah, absolutely stoked with it. So, yeah, absolutely.
Stephen?
I think you've probably got a similar question, or maybe I've saved 2 of them for myself. So, I'll read 2 questions back-to-back, similar sort of vibes. So, Tony Wright writes in, funnily enough. Have you always had that grunt when you bowl that scares the crap out of the batsman, or has that developed over the years? And Daniel Jackson follows that by saying, where did the moniker Sellers grunt come from when he's bowling, and does he actually know he's doing it?
So I think, yeah, so I had it before the long break, for sure, and it is purely, I know I'm doing it, but I can't not do it sort of thing, so it's like once I'm coming in and bowling bit faster, I think, like, it comes in. Yeah. And I really you know, it's purely non. I'm not doing it by choice, essentially.
Unconscious.
Like, it is pain. It's like, you know, Sean Tate. I'm not comparing myself to Sean Tate.
Obviously.
Apart from the wides and no balls. But he used to run in and he'd grunt as well because it was the strain on his body. It was causing him pain every time he bowls. And it's, to be honest, yeah, it does. It pretty much hurts every time. And it will continue to do so, I'm sure. But you push through it, basically. That's for the love of the game, for the love of bowling fast.
Fair enough. Shion Mendes says, what's your go-to song in karaoke if he needs to get the boys going on a night out?
I knew that was coming, and I thought about it. And I think it's Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams.
Okay.
Shout.
I can't hit any of the notes, though I try. But it just gets you going, gets the blood pumping. You know, it's a classic.
Another one here from Paddy. He says, how much are you going to spend on the ladies in Bali?
Now, that could be taken in a lot of ways. Let's presume it's massages.
Yeah, you know, I body's quite tight from all the fast bowling. So yeah. I think massages are quite cheap over there. So I think not too much, I would hope or suspect, but we'll see. Not ruling anything out.
Stephen?
Let's have a look here. Apologies, I'm just reading through these questions. I enjoy them quite a lot. Arby Menon writes in. he asks, what does Girl Me Too mean to you?
Ah, what does it mean to me? That's a great question. What it means is, have you ever... There's a recording artist called Drake. He's quite well known.
Yeah.
Girls Want Girls.
He's got a song known as Girls Want Girls. And it's a lyric from that song. So that's the technical thing. But what it means to me is you know, nights out with the boys, you know, some of the special memories that you create with your mates. So that's the sort of thing. When I think of it, that is what I think of in a realistic sense. But yeah, like, I guess the technical answer is it's a lyric to a Drake song, but you can... Yeah, take it how you want.
I'll tell you what, that's a strange interpretation. I mean, I like what you've taken it to a positive place, because on the surface it could just sound like a bloke who's a bit of a simp or an incel and he's unhappy that he's not getting any girls.
Yeah, so like one of my favourite things to do is to say fuck Drake, and people take it really badly.
Yep.
People hate it, like, because he is probably like the most successful recording artist of the last like decade maybe, and people love him. And so if I say fuck Drake, it's always going to get a reaction, to like, no matter what. So that's one of my favorite things to do on a night out, is just say it, see what happens. It's always going to take you somewhere. But yeah, he has some good songs as well. So yeah.
Paddy also asked, what's the plan for the after party when we win the indoor cricket flag this season?
That's going to be unbelievable when that happens. I have poured my heart and soul into that team, as have all of the boys. You know, indoor cricket, you can take it as just a bit of a laugh or a sort of hit and giggle type thing. But no, I take it, you know, semi-seriously. And I think all the boys in that team, like, we've built a great culture in the team. And and shout out to Dirty Vep and the boys. I actually messaged Vep after I knew he was on this podcast, and he didn't shout out the indoor cricket team, we named it after him. we, you know, I can't believe that from Vep. I'm doing it now. Shout out to the boys. We are going to win the flag this year.
Well, you did have a win last week. I did see that. You filled in, Stephen.
Yeah, it was good little win. And remiss of me last week as well not to ask Vep why he was called Dirty Vep, why the team's called Dirty Vep and the boys. Obviously, there's got to be some substance to that. Alas, I digress. Arby continues.
God.
He says, who do you prefer, Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde?
Well, as Dr. Jekyll right now, I can only prefer myself. But as Mr. Hyde, I've never met him. I know he comes out from time to time, but people seem to enjoy his company, so he seems great as well. But I have to say Dr. Jekyll at this point in time.
Fair enough. Another one here from Shion Mendes. He says, what's the song you go to if you need to impress a girl in karaoke?
That's another great question. I can do like Self Control by Frank Ocean pretty well, and that normally gets a pretty good reaction. Although, you know, Don't Stop Believing is what people want to hear. and but I can't quite hit the high notes, but I'll give it a good crack. You know what I mean? Like, nice. But pretty much anything, basically, normally all good.
Got a lot of time for that answer. Got a lot of time for that answer.
Steven?
I've got a couple more questions here. I think I've got three or four more questions. Tony Wright asked, what prevented you from taking Pfeiffer on the weekend? Was it poor captaincy and not bowling you earlier? And there he refers to himself in this third person. Spud is often overlooked to come in and rip through the top order.
Well, I thought Matty's captaincy was great. To be honest, like, I probably wouldn't even have got the four if I hadn't come on like right after we just already won as well. So, you know, maybe, I don't know. But I thought Spud bowled really well as well on the weekend. Maybe he should get more overs.
Yeah, you always think, oh, gee, maybe I should bowl Spud earlier. And then you get more bowls and you're like, oh, I don't need to bowl Spud. Then Spud will come on when it goes, oh, gee, Spud bowled all right.
Mm. He really did.
Yeah. Another question from Sheep. Indie rock band Archers of Loaf have just released a new album. Do you know what it's called?
I do not know what it's called, Sheep, I'll be honest with you, but I'm looking forward to, if you can send me a link or if it's on any streaming services, please enlighten me, and I'm looking forward. What is it, Matty? Do you have it there?
They're a band, I assume. He's introduced them to me recently. I wouldn't say that I'm a heavy listener of them. Have you heard of Archers of Loaf?
I have not.
Okay.
Well, Archers of Loaf.
Archers of Loaf. So it's been 25 years since their last album, so that's why it's a big deal. Apparently, Icky Metal was their first one in 1993. So, sort of musical knowledge there from Sean Collingwood.
There you go. Alive.
Stephen?
I've got three final questions.
Yep.
From friend of the show, Dinesh Murthy. he asks to ask you, Damon, which female you last serenaded with those demon karaoke eyes?
Look, Dinny knows that I can't answer that question. I heard Vep on this podcast, this very podcast, asked some questions that he should not have answered. And he just 100%
he should not have answered.
Why did he keep going? Like, I was like, oh God, oh no. And you know what? Credit to him for being honest.
He was.
But like, I think that the word no is you know, you got to be able to know when to say it. So absolutely, I've got nothing for you there. Shout out to Vep though.
We did say to Vep beforehand, ooh, you know, just like, just a couple of boys having a chat. Don't be worried. Stitch him.
It's all okay.
Yeah, sorry. Dinny continues. He said this isn't cricket related at all, but he wants to know your thoughts on the Eagles potentially recommitting to Jack Nelson coming back to the club.
Oh, he knows my answer there. God, I hope not. the man's absolutely terrible. Like he does make my blood boil. He knows how to get a rise out of me. It's making me angry now. You know, it's never going to happen. I hope he enjoys playing country footy for a few hundred bucks and a few tinnies. And you know, again, good luck to him. He's not very good.
I'm out of questions. Do you have any left?
Final one from Dinny. Yep. The last question for you. Can you please ask Damon about how he lost his last pair of glasses?
Yes. All right. So it's Eagles related. We were at my friend Nick and I were at the West Coast versus Essendon game,
mm-hmm.
Which was one of our two wins for the season. So I was feeling festive. We went to Henry Summer afterwards and had a few beverages, one or two maybe. And then we're in the Uber on the way home, and I felt the need to get some fresh air, so I've stuck my head out of the side of the Uber, and as soon as I did so, the glasses fly off straight onto the freeway, and I've just gone, oh God, oh no. So I've made the guy stop, tried to get out onto the freeway to find him, and it's like peak traffic, and I'm like, I'm about to get run over here. I was like, it's all good. I've just lost my only pair of glasses. I've not got a grade. I think I've got like 4.75, 4.5, so that, you know, really can't see a thing. I'm going home like, I've got work in 2 days. Like, what am I going to do? What am I actually going to do? And I found some old glasses, and sort of got through the next couple of weeks, but it was pretty grim. Wow. So yeah, that is the story.
as someone with a 5 and a 4.5, it's basically my glasses, Matty. You've tried on my glasses before, so you can appreciate the inverse of that.
Yeah. Yep. What we are going to play now is the name game, which I assume you've heard about.
Of course.
Now, I have selected a game. I'm just going to send the screenshot through to Stephen. It is a game we have already, believe, briefly mentioned today. It was your second game for the club, I believe. So you were playing in sixth grade. Do you know? Remember who that was against, out of interest?
It's against Cannington, I believe.
Cannington? Oh, that doesn't seem correct.
Well, it wasn't?
Not from what I can see. You were close, so...
Phoenix.
It was round 2.
Yeah, there you go.
You're against Phoenix. Do you think you can recall the players in this team? Do you reckon you can get close?
I hope I can. Okay. To be honest, I looked at a couple of the... I know the name. Ooh, game. I'm a fan of the podcast.
Try to change it up.
So I did look at, like, the one-day B... T20 I played last year. I even looked at the 1-day F T20 because
I thought of going that. I looked at them like, well, that's just too niche.
There were some odd names.
There were some odd names.
Good study though.
This game, I don't know if I looked at in much depth, but I'll have a crack at it.
Yep.
All right. So, Imesh played that game. Yep. Abi Menon.
Yep.
I believe. A Rav?
Yep.
It would have been Richard Pinto. Did he play in that game?
Yes.
Yep. Maybe down the order a little bit. Did Dinny play in that game?
Yep.
I believe he did. Nimesh?
Yes.
He played in that game. Batted it with me. Was there a Lahiru? Did Lahiru play in that game?
Wow, I believe
he did.
Yep.
That's I remember that. Shehan, obviously. Have I said him?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, this is 8.
Let me think. Hashan, did he play in that game?
He did.
Right, 9. Let me think more.
Could this be the first time for the clean sweep?
I think I'm choking a bit. Angad played that game, did he?
He did not.
He didn't.
Oh, no.
You were sailing so smooth.
I was sailing smooth.
Obviously number 10 yourself, but...
Yeah, also, I guess, myself as well.
But there is one other there.
It wasn't Vep, was it?
No,
it wasn't.
You know the man quite well.
Oh, no, I'm going to feel terrible after this, aren't I?
Probably.
For getting a good mate. I know the man quite well.
He was on the wine tour.
Was it Renault?
Yes.
All right.
So close. I thought.
So close. Yes.
You were scared when he said Lahiru. You were like, "You're
he's
pucking
doing
up
it."
A little bit
I'm like, "He's doing it. This is it. We're gonna have someone pull off the perfect sweep."
Alas, not today.
Not today.
It is easier when you've only got 13 games for the club.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Small sample size. That's fair.
And maybe we'll just go back and forth, Stephen, and ask a few questions to finish off.
Yeah. So this is the part where he asks you questions that make me angry.
Of course.
I sit here passively but aggressively. Oh,
wow. Now, if you're at home and you're cooking up a stir-fried onion, do you prefer to go with rice or with noodles?
Yeah, I mean, noodles are easier to make, aren't they? So I find myself making a lot of noodles at home. But if I'm out at a restaurant or something, I'll tend to go rice because, you know, it's going to take longer for me to make at home. I'm used to having the noodles, so that's my sort of general go.
What an interesting discussion point.
Can I counter that by saying, wouldn't you think that a stir-fry by definition has rice?
You might think that. I've sort of chosen to ignore the stir-fry aspect of the question.
Oh, right, okay.
I know, stir-fries can have noodles, actually, to be fair.
Who's to say?
The viewer.
Maybe the viewer can decide. Yeah.
Well,
take your own journey.
And I will. Straight to Google.
Now, if you were trapped on a desert island and you could take one cricket club member with you, who would you take?
Another good question. I would say Paddy Carpenter.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, they're thinking handiness, all that kind of thing. I'm just thinking, like, he's just such a nice fella. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if there's one coconut there, I think he'd give me the coconut. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, I've obviously known him for a very long time, trusted with my life. So definitely Paddy, I would say.
Okay.
So just to clarify there, look, not to cast any aspersions on Paddy's abilities to help you survive, you're basically choosing having a good death. Is that more or less what this is?
I mean, isn't that what we're all trying to do? I mean, everyone, you know, whether it's on a desert island, or whether it's, you know, you're just trying to have a crack at it, you know, enjoy what you've got left. I'd rather have a good time for what I've got left than sort of, you know, be struggling and chewing little roots off of the bark or whatever I'd be doing with some of these other guys. So I don't know.
Who was your favourite cricketer growing up?
All the fastballs. So probably Brett Lee was a big one for me, and then Mitchell Johnson. So it was, all the big Aussie quicks were my favourite cricketers growing up.
Anything from you there, Stephen?
Yeah, so if you were to go down the road from here and go to Gusto, are you familiar with Gusto, the gelateria? It's a fine establishment, perhaps we should take you there. What would be your go-to flavour of ice cream or gelato?
So I'd probably go for a mango sorbet type of deal. I mean, I'm allergic to milk, which has been a whole thing for the entire of my life.
Like lactose intolerance?
No, like allergic to like milk protein. So wow. It was a whole thing, especially as a kid. These days, it's not as big a deal. I can sort of get around it. And also, I can have cheese now, which is good. But yeah, at the ice cream place, it's normally like, I guess we're going to ice cream. But if it has like a dairy-free sort of selection, like which a lot of places do these days, which is nice. But yeah, I've always, as a kid, I would always have like a mango sorbet or something because obviously couldn't have the other stuff.
They do a fine sorbet down the road at Gusto.
Do you have a favorite singer or artist?
That's a great question. I've I don't know. Like I've probably got at the moment certain people I'm more into, but like I reckon I do like 90% of my music listening is stuff that is just for me. Like I'm not sharing it with anyone. So I'll say it anyway. Like Alex G. You no one who's listening to the podcast would have heard of him, but he's I don't even know what genre to describe him as. Phoebe Bridges is one of my favorite artists. Bon Iver, Radiohead. Those are the sort of stuff that I listen to when I'm, you know, alone, that kind of stuff. But then I like a really wide range of music, and so I feel like pretty much anyone who I meet, I'm going to be able to share some kind of music with them. And you go down to the karaoke, like, yeah, I won't choose a single song, but I'll know pretty much most of them, I hope, and just sort of get into it. So, yeah.
Well, when you were doing the karaoke on Saturday night and I was there, you were going through a lot of Coldplay. You're really getting into the Coldplay.
I absolutely love Coldplay, and I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Fair enough. Stephen?
Yeah, you're taking us on a bit of a journey there. So with the band, aside from you know, your voice being an instrument, what do you play and how long you played it?
So I play rhythm guitar, and I'm not very good. So I probably started playing that after high school, sort of. So Dad's been in a band, actually with Pat's dad. So they've been in a band for the last probably almost 20 years now, called The Phobias. Shout out to them. My dad also plays guitar and sings as well, but he's also not very good at the guitar either. So you just sort of, you know, play a few chords. That's all you really need to do as the rhythm guitarist, and
absolutely,
sort of if you're singing sort of thing. It's more just having a buffer between you and the audience and a bit of background noise basically, but you know,
given your dad's like to drink, is that phobias as in I'm phobias, or phobias as in I'm scared of there being no beers?
No, it's like it's phobias as in like arachnophobia. And I think at one stage they were going to have, like, you know, like arachnophobe, you know, that kind of thing. But I think they found that was too cheesy, which it definitely is.
Apologies, because it slipped my mind. What was the name of your band again?
It's called Long Reach.
The Long Reach. Would the Long Reach perform at the Kenwick Cricket Wind-Up?
I would say there's essentially no chance of it happening.
Oh, no.
In terms of getting the band back together. It's like, you know, Oasis, you know, how they
Well, you hate your brother?
There are huge... I love my brother. Shout out to Mark. I hope he... I actually want my brother to play for the club at some stage. He's living over in Sydney. I'd love that at some stage. But in terms of these other boys who are in the band, I love them too, but it's going to be tough to get them all together, for sure. But in terms of like playing some kind of thing, at you know, we could get something together for sure.
Maybe you could do a solo performance.
Yep, I mean, to be honest, like, even on the weekend, I was sort of rare. I was listening to that bloke at Duckstein, like, he was okay. I was like, I almost felt like...
He tried.
The mango wine helped, didn't it?
He had a crack, but I was about to storm the stage.
I would have liked to have seen that, purely in a I don't represent the Kenwick Cricket Club kind of way.
I've said that. Your speech was in my mind when I chose not to do it at the very start of the day when you said to all the people here, you know, you are representing the Kenwick Cricket Club, so don't, you know, make too much of a moron of yourself.
Yeah, low-key dickheadery.
I requested that he play Bonkers and he wouldn't even do it. So like,
I heard you call out Tim-O-Matic several times.
Tim-O-Matic, Bonkers, the Veronicas. I'm like, mate, you got a guitar and a voice, get it done.
alas, no such luck.
Anyway, I think we're pretty much just about done here.
Any final words for the people listening to this? Anything you want them to know about you?
I've brought, I'm going to toot my own horn here, brought a stat sheet, and want the viewers to, or the listeners to decide. The game was the 2010/11 season, so it was Ardross White versus Jandakot Gold.
Mm.
We've got a fast bowler bowling the first over for Jandakot. His name was Jay Richardson. He's taken zero wickets, I can see here.
Yeah.
It says zero wickets. And then I can see the Ardross, the guy who's bowled the first over, says D. Tiernan here.
Yep.
He's taken two wickets.
Oh, wow.
So I just want to throw that out to the listener, who you reckon is the better bowler. You decide. I mean, that's all right
votes.
Here. Send in your votes. Let us know.
I like it. That's a good stat line. You'd be pretty proud of that.
Pretty stoked.
What age group was that again?
Under 14s.
Yeah, that counts. That's real cricket.
Which we know is the elite level of cricket.
It was. His stats were also 3 overs, 0 for 0.
Really?
I think he was just bowling so quick on the Astro that it was bouncing over the stumps or something, but yeah, good times.
You played a game of indoor cricket with Jay Richardson, didn't you?
I didn't. Colby and Sean did.
Okay.
I think he played for the team that was playing against the undefeated team. And they still lost the team that had Jai Richardson.
Really?
Like by a run. Yeah. We'll have to ask Colby or Sean. I can't remember the exact story. It would have been years ago now.
Indoor cricket's weird like that. You ever played against anyone of note? Any personalities,
yeah,
if you will?
So I played against Aaron Hardy. And I've sort of got to know his brother, little brother a little bit, Matt Hardy as well, outside of cricket. But yeah, Aaron used to play down at Striker Melville when that was still a thing. What a brilliant place that was. And I do remember, I was a couple of years older than him, and I was bowling a lot quicker than I am now even then. And so I was able to sort of, and that sort of lived on in my memory. His team smashed us every time, and he would just hit it so hard that it would hit the side of the net. He didn't know how to play indoor cricket, you know, like, and then you just catch it. So it was one of those ones where, like, sometimes... Like someone like, you know, Saurav, for example, man. Like, yeah, he is unbelievable in the indoor cricket. He you know. So, yeah, it's just a different skill set almost. But, yeah, I did play against Aaron Hardy.
It is.
We played against ex-Fremantle Doc Anthony Grover a couple times at Striker.
Claim to fame.
Yeah. I played against former Fremantle and St Kilda player Brett Peake.
Oh, yeah. He's been on... I've interviewed him in that studio before.
Interesting.
Oh, really?
Wiss and I laughed. At him, and he was a lot taller than I figured he would be, and he bowled me a series of bounces that were a lot quicker than I would have been expecting.
Yeah.
So shout out to Brett if you're listening.
I'm sure he would be. Damon, it's been an absolute pleasure, and we look forward to hopefully hearing about your fight for next week.
Thank you so much, Maddie, Kempe. Pleasure to be here. Cheers.